Right. Sorry about starting a little late. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, where we're feeling great. Lots of words, or down, frustrated, or whatever we're feeling in our mind, in our hearts, and whatever is in our minds, Lord, you know, you understand, and you're addressing those through your words, through our worship, through the songs, through the messages this morning. So open our hearts to receive what you have for us individually, for us as a group. And I say, bless the reading and the studying of your own words. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. How much do you guys know of Habakkuk? Who's heard of the name Habakkuk?
Yeah.
But not much, right? I didn't either. Well, I did, but I didn't know it came from Habakkuk. There's a lot of verses people use. They pulled it out of Habakkuk. So you guys will recognize it as we go. It's heavy stuff, but so good. I don't say it because I want you guys to teach Sunday school one of these days. But every time and without fail, any book, even the most obscure books in the Bible, you dig into it's so rich. There's a lot of themes in the word. So let's go to the let's go right to it. The background. For the background. Remember last time, I think we were doing Micah, was it? During that time was the rise of the Assyrians, right? If you guys remember. And just a quick, now it's the decline, the fall of the Assyrians, okay? They were rising in power. Remember, they're so evil, right? Pastor Alex mentioned that, you know, the skin, it's so gruesome. I don't want to share it, but he likes to share that. But they just kill their victims, right? They torture them. Well, it's their downfall now. Praise the Lord, right? Another evil empire is rising, the rise of the Babylonians. They're called the Chaldeans. Okay, so that's what's happening. Syria's going down, Babylonians coming up. Now, last time the Assyrians took out the northern kingdom. Now the Babylonians are going to finish the job and take out the southern kingdom. We're at the tail end of the Old Testament of that story. We're at the tail end of Israel as a nation before they come back. Really, in the you know after the entire kingdom. So just kind of yourself in that place dies. He's kind of the last great king of Israel, of Judah, should say. So that's a prominent story that we want to get into. Death of Josiah. This is what's happening. So Habakkuk is writing most likely after King Josiah's death. So he's really, really distraught. Okay? So he's a prophet. He's like, okay, I can't believe this happened. Because Josiah, what did he do? You guys remember? Reformed, right?
Found the word.
Found the word. Let's do this right. Let's set the nation straight. And when that happens, when the word is the center of the nation has confidence, they're building, and they're returning to God, and God says he's a good king. So when it's a good king, good things should happen. And it did. Until it didn't. And Habakkuk was like, what? wait a minute. I'm the prophet. Everything was good. And now this. So prophets all kind of go through the same problems. They all grapple with, I put it in the beginning, they all grapple with God's ways. They don't understand. That's common denominator. Different situation, but they all have this tension about them. So let's just read this really quick. Can somebody read this loud and clear? Fast? Well, not fast. Just read it.
After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple and the king of Egypt went up to fight at Carchemish on the Euphrates, and Josiah went out to meet him. But he sent envoys to him, saying, What have we to do with each other, king of Judah? I am not coming against you this day, but against the house with which I am at war. And God has commanded me to hurry. Cease opposing God who is with me, lest he destroy you. Nonetheless, Josiah did not turn away from him, but disguised himself in order to fight with him. Did not listen to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, but came to fight in the plain of
Megiddo.
And the archers shot King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, take me away, for I am badly wounded. So his servants took him out of the chariot and carried him in his second chariot and brought him to Jerusalem. And he died and was buried in the tombs of his fathers. All Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah.
Do you guys know the story? Yeah, you guys all know the story, right? It's still a fascinating story. I'll kind of go. So Babylonians is rising. That's the green line, right? Here's the Assyrians right here. They're going into battle because Babylonians is going to take them out. Assyrians are weakening. And then, but their allies are the Egyptians. That's Pharaoh Necho, right? So Necho says, oh, I better go join my brother Assyrian. They're not really greatest friends, but they have their own political interests. Just like I'm going to team up with you because you and I, we're going to divide up Palestine. They call it Syria, Palestine, this area. Okay. So Egyptians are like, dude, I'm going to help because I'm going to get another piece of land that they feel that it belonged to them. And in the midst of this, Josiah decided to go fight Egyptian Pharaoh Necho. Why? You guys read the story. So did you guys ever come up with a reason why he decided to go? And he dies, right? Because he's a good king. He's a good king. It's a Megiddo. That's a key piece. That's where Armageddon is. Let me tell you place, guys. Oh, okay. Side note. Megiddo. Why is that a key piece? Why is that a great place for battle?
It's perfect for battle.
It's perfect for battle. Why is it perfect for battle?
It's like a, huge field.
Yeah.
Like flat piece of mountain.
So Megiddo is on this mountaintop, right? Not like mountain, but like a hilltop, high hilltop, flat, perfect, sniping. And then when they don't do this, they do this, right? They're archers, right? They can see directly down into the Jezreel Valley. That's when you see the water right here. So every enemy has to travel through that valley. And as the army and, you know, you're fortified, you're like, I can see everybody. They're like exposed. And Megiddo is a perfect place. And that's Israel's land. Josiah knew if I'm going to pick them off, I'm going to pick them off right here. So he's actually in a better position to take out the Egyptian army. He's like prime, right? They know that place. It's their home. But yeah, he loses. But anyways. So he goes because he's thinking, a lot of people are thinking,
a lot of commentators think that, hey, you know, Assyrians going down, I really dislike them. Babylonians ain't great, but maybe I can side with them. Take out the Egyptians, kind of help them out, and maybe win some favors from the Babylonians. You see, a lot of political power play here, right? Then he goes, and then Necho says, God spoke to me. Right? Like, don't get in God's way. If you were a good king, and Yahweh is your God, and some Gentile comes to you and say, God spoke to me, don't get in my way, what would you say? If a non-Christian said, God spoke to me, God, you'd be like, no, he don't speak to you, he speaks to me. Is that what you say? That's what Josiah said, he died. What do you get? Does God still speak to Gentiles? I mean, Gentiles. Does God speak to non-believers? Because we know Aaron Necho was not a believer of Yahweh.
And through donkeys.
No. Not today, right? But does God speak through non-Christians? I just thought, is that a weird question? I thought of it.
I guess I feel like he could, but like I feel like we also have to have like wisdom to know like if they're just like false claiming it.
Yeah, wisdom is important. Yeah. It doesn't sound as easy though sometimes. It's so hard to tell the difference, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Josiah had a lot of wisdom, right? Yeah. And then is that wisdom tempered with your own ambition or what's inside of you? Is that wisdom coated with like humility? I don't know. Like this made me think like, wow, yeah, God can use anybody and not just us. It kind of humbles us too, right? Just because we're God's people, he loves us, the spirit is in us, he doesn't just use us to fulfill his plan. But in Jitney, no. Yeah. So he goes, he doesn't believe him, he engages him, and he falls. And Habakkuk's like, what? You're God's chosen one. At least at that time. And Habakkuk's, I'm going to have a word or two with God. Right.
So that passage, like, the author,
mm-hmm.
the author thinks that Necho actually had the words of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
But I guess we don't know if Josiah thought that.
I don't think Josiah did. That's why he didn't get out of the way.
If he like knew and he was like, nah, I got this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he like didn't know and he was like, yeah, I'll go against it.
Right. We don't know. That the Bible doesn't say what was going on in his mind, but he did not listen to Pharaoh Necho. So he says, I'm gonna fight you. Necho's like, hey, I have nothing to do with you. I don't want to fight you. I said, but I want to fight you. Okay. And Necho's like, okay, I guess so. And then he took his life. He got shot. We don't know exactly how he died. And there's he got shot. There's other details, but yeah. But you have, that's a centerpiece. That's the national piece story there. Then you have the prophet, the king, and then the prophet on the side, and that's Habakkuk. He's like, I don't get it. We're God's people. That's God's king. He's a good king. Why? And now Assyrians going down, and Babylonians going to come and take over, which they eventually do. You see how distraught he is as a prophet, right? So he says, so this is kind of the structure, this is kind of the outline. And he's going to wrestle with that. And I think through his wrestling, I think it can also speak to our wrestling, right? It can speak to our wrestling. I know I got into like these paintings that I see. This is a painting of Habakkuk and an angel, okay, talking. And this is King Josiah. It's ripped. We're old, man. It's ripped. Look at that. So.
That's supposed to be Josiah.
Yeah, that's supposed to be Josiah.
Also ripped.
No, the guy died.
Habakkuk.
Oh, no, that's not Habakkuk. That's one of the soldiers. I know, that's one of the soldiers holding him. I can't believe you're dying. It's such a big deal, right? You see his crown is on the floor, signifying that the downfall, really, of Israel, that was the downfall. They were so emboldened by him, but now they lost courage, lost heart, because their king died, right?
He was the king who, you know, at a young age, you know, like usually you see that trend of like bad king, like bad grandfather king, bad father king,
yeah,
bad son king. But he was the odd man out, and at a young age, when he discovered the word, it was like gold to him, and
yes,
like changed the entire landscape of Judah.
Yeah,
but I think it's interesting because a lot of the stories of the kings, they can be bad, and then when they do like one thing good, God would reward them. Or they could be like a really, really good king, like you're saying, and he just makes one mistake, and then God's like, you know?
That's hard.
It's like, yeah.
King Josiah was good all the days. Now, he's still a good king in God's eyes. It's just that he died prematurely. He got killed in battle by that, right?
It's not premature. Right? According to God, it's not premature.
I guess according to him, right? According to the nation,
yeah.
Like he's a good king. And we have no emotional ties. So it's hard for us to imagine that to a good king or good president. It's not our nation really, but to the Israelites at that time, it was a big deal. And to the prophet Habakkuk, he was really, really saddened by it. He was depressed, and he got angry, and he started asking God this kind of question. I'm paraphrasing. How could this happen? Why did evil win? Babylonians, Lord, you know them. They're worse than the Assyrians. How? Why? We pray to you. We worship you. We got rid of the idols. Right? They were under a good king. Habakkuk knows. Like, why would this happen? What would be the question? What would be the reason? So without going through it all, this is kind of the theology in the entire book. But the righteous shall live by faith. I put here, logical explanations cannot explain away hard questions of life. I think we try to, and we'll kind of go into that a little bit of time. God is in control. This applies to our world events right now too. History is still waiting. So there's no conclusion yet. So as Habakkuk is writing this, in his writing, he's developing this theology. He's developing his understanding of what's going on. It's not finished yet.
Oh, but not finished yet. You mean there's still like a lot of theology in chapter 3?
Not finished yet, meaning that I think he would arrive at that conclusion, like our demise is not the end. But it is here. But it is not the end of God's plan. But he's looking, I think the picture I got was he's looking at like a meteor coming his way. Right? He's like, oh no. That's how I would. Oh no, that's it. That's it. But through his complaints and through his writing and through his dialogue with God, even as the meteor is about to hit him, he knows that this is not the end. It may be the end for him, but it's not the end for God's story, which we know 3,000 years later, right? We're still here. Story continues. So that's the theology he builds for us today to see if we can use, if we ever see a meteor coming our way. Did that answer the question? Yeah, that's not the end of.
Well, I love that verse in, I have it highlighted in my my online Bible too. Just
which one?
The chapter 2, verse 3.
Oh, the righteous?
Yeah. Chapter 2, verse 3.
Oh, verse 3. If it seems slow.
Yeah, because that's talking about like God's vision.
We'll get there. Yeah.
And it says, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. And then it says, if it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay.
It's
a powerful.
And I'm not sure what vision he saw. He didn't write it. He saw a vision. Yeah, that's what we're going to get there. So his question one. So this book is based off of a couple questions. Question one, God replies, answer one. Question two, God replies, answer two. So his question is, why does a righteous God tolerate unrighteousness and allow oppression and destruction? Right? That's what he says in Habakkuk 1:4. The wicked surrounds the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. That's his question. He's addressing this to God. He's not addressing it to others. He's addressing it to God. So you are a God of righteousness, but yet you let unrighteousness destroy your people. That's like biblical language. But today's language is, okay, you saved me. I'm your child, but you let me go through hell. Is that a question? Is that what people say? Maybe you didn't say it, but think it. Wait, I'm a child of God, but you let this happen to me. And I leave you. Pray. Right? Go to church, serve, maybe. Anyway, you may not ask that, but there's a lot of people online asking this question, believers and non-believers. It's a big question. That's a big question. Why? How do you guys answer when other people ask that? Has anyone ever asked you that? Or asked you, how did you, what's your answer? And then we get to see how God answers it. It's fine, right? How do you answer it? Because this is the question that people ask inside. That's why I'm so excited. I think it's great that we say, praise the Lord. The Lord is good, and He is. And He is sovereign. He's blessed. He's a blessed Redeemer. I think that's great. But I also want to address, this is inside our human soul. Many, many people are asking this.
I think the verse you had prior to the slide
mm-hmm.
is could be the go-to Christian response
uh-huh.
to a question from a non-Christian. But I will say that is not enough for a non-believer.
Okay.
You know,
for believers.
For believers.
Even for believers.
Yeah.
It seems because you're asking people to wait, you're saying believe without knowing.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah,
just
not
believe.
Fair.
I mean, I tell the kids this, you know, God is in control. We sing this song, and it's so easy when you're a kid, but as you get older and older, you know, your problems seemingly become bigger and bigger, and then your vision is cast out to a wider lens, right? So you're seeing more. It's like, how is God in control? Those are real questions, you know, to your point. Our soul wants to know. How and yeah, even believers have a hard time saying, but why or understanding why is it so long and why can't we know more now?
Yeah.
There's a lot of like, I want to know now, and accepting that God does not reveal now to us is hard.
Yeah, how do you even get, how long does it take for someone to get to that point, right? By the way, Habakkuk is struggling. You're saying Habakkuk
yeah,
is not happy with this question.
Actual
this,
struggle.
Yeah, Habakkuk is not satisfied with God's answer.
Yeah, so to your question about
yeah.
what would you say to a non-Christian, I don't think this will ride for them because
I,
we even have a hard time.
We even have
a Habakkuk, a prophet, had a hard time.
So tell me, you churchgoer, Jesus follower, how, if I'm struggling and you're struggling with it, why do you believe, right? If you have a hard time voicing this. Yes, yeah, I think that's so true. And that's what happened with the saint. He writes it for the world to know I'm struggling.
Yeah, and it's not like Habakkuk does not know his own people's history. You know, the ones that we refer to,
yeah.
like Abraham, the whole
mm-hmm.
lineage, right? So, yeah, this is a real struggle. It's the grappling.
It's the grappling. Yeah, it's a real struggle.
It's cool. It's honest.
Yeah.
And what you see before the Lord actually answers him is at least his posture in, like, chapter 2, verse 1 is... Mm-hmm. He's basically saying, I'm going to climb to the top of the watchtower.
Wait.
Okay. Yes. You asked.
I
thought, like,
okay.
Not sure if I should wait or.
Sorry. wait, there's more. Okay. But let's go through his God's first reply. Okay. So check this out. I didn't see this. Okay, so he asks this. I know. So God replies to him. Okay? God replies to him. And why? I don't know. I just like to stand up. I don't have a pointer.
Hey, do you want me to move your chair?
Oh, no. It's cool. Thanks. Yeah. So, looks among the nations. This is God talking to Habakkuk. I know you're frustrated. You don't know why evil exists? Well, let me tell you. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. Habakkuk's like, no, I'm not buying it. For I'm doing a work in your days that you will not believe if told. For behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. Not their own, who take land that doesn't belong to them. The Chaldeans, which is the Babylonians. So, a lot of people said, you know, they even write songs about this. A lot of people just take this verse, right? Sounds like a good verse to me. For I am doing a work in your days, and you will not believe told. Have you heard of this verse? I'm doing a great work in your days that you will not even believe if I told you. So good, too good to be true. You do not know. So this verse has been just stripped out like that and used, right? But it's not too good to be true. God's reply to Habakkuk is, it's too bad to be true. I can't even tell you the work that I'm doing because it's so bad. I didn't say this. God. Now read it in the context. I read it in context. This, I think it's amazing what God says on this one, his reply. I don't know if that causes a little bit of a discomfort. Because I looked it over at least 5 times just to make sure nothing was wrong. I'm doing a work that you will not even believe. I'm not going to tell you all of that. You're not going to believe it because it's going to be so bad. Why would God say that? If God told you, hey, I'm gonna do this work, it's gonna be so bad. I can't even tell you. It's gonna be horrible.
You know it's gonna
when God says it's bad and I can't tell you all of it, you know it's gonna be really bad. That Habakkuk's like, imagine how he feels. He's like, well, this is bad enough. Now I'm asking you why, and you're saying, oh, it's going to get worse. God said, oh, it's going to get worse. That's different from the messages that we get. Oh, it's going to be, today is your best day. No, it's going to get better. Right? It's your best day yet, or best year yet, right? Or New Year's. And I love that. I want next year to be better. And Habakkuk does too. God says, no, it's going to get better. I'm raising up the Babylonians.
Without reading the rest, because we're in chapter
one. Yeah, chapter one, yeah.
Six. Like, you're a Habakkuk. Do you just run away at this point, or do you engage? You know?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Right. And Habakkuk's like, what?
Do I want to know?
Are you talking about? What Habakkuk is saying here in our understanding of God will come in handy, will come in handy in our days. So that's why I think it's a gem for us to know. So, let's do that. So this is get to Pastor Alex's answer this one. Question two. Yes, question two. He says, okay, that answer, I don't like it. Okay. How can such a God, you're a good God, allow murderous activities and use them as his agents? Because that's what God said. I'm gonna use the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to bring death to you guys. to bring judgment. So Habakkuk, no. How can a God, a loving God, you murder us? That's what he's saying. How can a loving God murder us with murderous people? Right? He says, you who are pure, you who are of pure eyes than to see evil, cannot look at wrong. Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up a man more righteous than he? You're so pure. You can't even look at evil, yet you're going to use evil to bring judgment on us. And this is what Pastor Alex is talking about. Pushing two, right? So, what does Habakkuk do? He goes to the tower. He says, I will not leave until you give me an answer. I demand you answer for yourself. So he goes to the tower by himself, right? That's the tower right there. That's the exact tower that he goes.
That's it. I got it first.
Yeah. You answer my complaint, right? And he waits. Hey guys, last teaching. So God says this. So he says, how can you do such a thing to us? So God answers him. So God says, this is what Pastor Alice was mentioning. Write the vision. Make it plain. So he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. So I have a purpose. Okay. Right. So he says, write this down. That says, write this down. That's his reply. Why are you so bad, God, that you would use the murderous people to bring judgment on the nation? And God says, write it down so easy that people can run with it. Meaning that it's so easy to understand. So easy to understand. Just write it down and make it easy. Don't make it complicated. Make it easy. So Habakkuk writes this down. And this, I think, is the kind of the mystery of the entire book. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith. Why is this God's answer? What do you think this means? So think about it, all the questions that we asked earlier in ourselves, right? And that the question that we have a hard time telling other people about, right? But this is the answer that God gives to us. Does that help you when you're going through a hard time? Does that help you when you think, why is God doing this horrible thing?
know what the like his him and his referred to?
Oh,
like
no, it's
like,
yeah. Good question.
Thinking like, oh,
yeah.
Is this like an arbitrary Chaldean, or is this like supposed to represent like us? Like we put ourselves in the place of this always fucked up.
Yeah. This is talking about man in general. Yes. It is not referring to a specific person. It is talking to a man, a person, a woman, right? A human being.
The enemy version specifies that it's bad.
It's the enemy. Right here?
Yeah. NIV 2:4, it says, see, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. Of the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. So, his refers to the NIV.
Okay.
But I don't know what it is in the original language, like with his. Like,
and I don't wonder if like the enemy could also like refer to ourselves in like a corrupt state.
The original doesn't say that, but I think NIV makes that interpretation. That's why it's NIV, right?
Right.
So they does make that interpretation.
NASB says, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right.
Right.
Sometimes it's not very clear who that is. Or it is, it's interpreted.
But I think it could apply to the enemy too. And it could apply to the to Habakkuk in his and Israelites too, because he's answering Habakkuk and he's telling who can live by righteousness except those who have faith. Faith in who? Faith in God, right? But it seemed like a strange answer from God to Habakkuk's big question in life. Kevin, did you have insight into that?
No, I mean, I guess like, well, my thoughts on this are like, like from Habakkuk's perspective, like he's asking these questions in a very like, I guess it's like, it's already like judgment is like infused in the questions, right? Like it's like, oh, like, these are bad people, these are good people.
Right.
We should like take this specific action, which is like probably to like halt the wicked somehow, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess it's like Habakkuk is being like the judge.
Mm.
Or like, yeah, he's asking God to like bring judgment.
Right.
And I guess I feel like this kind of response, like it reminds me of like, I had like studied Job, I think, at some point, and it's like this is like a very similar type of response, which is
it
like,
is.
Do you know everything that's happening?
Right.
Like,
that's what I was thinking.
Are you sure that you like? It's basically like, are you sure you're not too prideful by like asking for this judgment?
Right. Yeah. You see this part, and you think this is right thing to do, right? But do you even know what's happening?
Yeah, and I guess it's like. There's also a sense of like in hindsight when we look at like this whole like Babylonian exile story, it like it becomes a good thing. So, but it's like to Habakkuk in his city that's still prospering, he's like, how could this be a good thing?
It's pretty bad at that time, right? From that moment in time, right? People are dying, nations being taken over. Yeah. So that's this is like real, like this is not like a movie type of ending, or you know, this is like real life, very raw and very So you're right, it happens to be very similar to Job, right? And the prophet hears this. And instead of asking the why now, he shifts. He shifts his tone and he appeals to God's mercy. Right? He shifts and he appeals to God's mercy now. And he says in Habakkuk chapter 3, I have heard the report of you in your work, O Lord. Do what I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. I don't know how long this took. He gets from, why, Lord? And then he hears that the Lord says it's going to get worse. You don't know everything. You just have to have faith, the righteous have faith. And he says, there will be wrath. He doesn't have a fake picture of who God is or what's going to happen. And he says, in wrath, O Lord, in this difficult time, remember your mercy. That's what man boils down to at the end, appealing to God's mercy. Yeah, that's it's not like this raw, raw, raw ending. There will be, by the way, sometimes a little bit more raw, okay? Like a little more positive. But I don't know if this encourages you, but this gives a more of a weighty and substantial understanding to my faith. Like, oh, God has a bigger plan than just me. He has a bigger plan than just my house, my home. He has a bigger plan than just my church. He has a bigger plan than just my city, my state.
You said something that kind of triggered something. Yeah. You're kind of mid-sentence, but I think you were catching on what you're saying. Like, from the time that he received the response,
mm-hmm.
and from the time that he Habakkuk responded, like how much time was in between, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, is it? Oh, I'm so angry at God, and then oh, all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've heard it.
Accept it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder. For me, eventually I will get to this point. Okay, I accept.
Mm.
But there's a long time in between. Because as you read it, it seems like it's sudden, right?
Yeah.
But I think really there was some
period
of time where you have to like wrestle through it.
I think yes. Right. And everyone's different. And I think that's a healing process, but I think it's a difficult journey, but I think it's a beautiful journey for those of us who are in faith. We're inching towards understanding God, and God allows that time. And it's different for all of us when we go through pain, right, and trials. It's just different. But it's good to know that for someone who's as intense, in an intense situation as Habakkuk was, you see his journey. You kind of see where he ends up, and we can kind of model after it, right? We can come model after it. So he ends up like, hey, in wrath, Lord, remember me. Remember your mercy, because your mercies are new every morning, right? And he keeps going, right? Though the fig tree should not blossom, I'm reading in your own context, Nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, there's hope there.
I also think it's good to struggle a little bit. You know, it's like, I don't know, just my personal, like, yeah, I mean, we'd love to, like, oh, God, give me this again and give me the answer or change my circumstance immediately. Right? If that keeps happening to me, this is just my perspective. If this keeps happening, then, you know, oh, then I can, then it becomes, in my, you know, hypothetically, right? Like, if it keeps happening, the slippery slope would be like, well, then I can perceive God as like just a genie, like a magic lamp genie. Oh, I just ask for whatever, and it's just going to give it to me. But if I don't go through this process of wrestling, then I don't know who God is, right? Then all I perceive him as is this, just this person just grants my wish. Everything I ask for, he just gives it to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's good to go through a struggle because then I get to see who God is.
Yeah, it's hard when you're like, let's put it this way, nobody ever seeks for a struggle, right? Right, no one ever seeks it, but it comes. So you're right. When it does come, this really helps. This really helps. Habakkuk, I think, really helps me. I hope it helps you too. That, oh, I'm getting to know God for real, not the not just when we're proclaiming some good things. Though there's a place for that, of course, because God is good and he does bring blessing. But when the fig tree is not blossoming, Habakkuk is able to arrive, like, hey, remember mercy. Remember that that his work is not done. The story's not over. There's more. So it's just faith without seeing it. And that goes by the righteous shall live by faith. That's his conclusion. That's his answer to, and I don't know if the non-Christian will ever buy into this, but for the believer, that's God's answer. Have faith in me. Trust me.
Yeah, and I like his, you know, the response of remember mercy is huge. I mean, to
huge.
It's a person that is reminded of who God is and
right.
who we are.
Right.
You know, it's a humbling word to say, remember mercy.
Yeah,
I really never noticed that before in this context. I know we've seen songs that have said, remember mercy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, I think it's hitting a little bit differently this time.
Yeah, knowing that he comes to this ending after he gone through a lot more. And it makes this ending so much more sweeter, right? And I like this ending, not because I want wrath or struggle or difficulty. I like this ending because it is very practical and true, not void of reality. He's doing this in reality of the Babylonians annihilating the northern kingdom. And yet he's like, yes, it's happening, but remember mercy, Lord, because you're going to make it happen. Somehow you'll restore us. Somehow, I have faith, somehow, whether now or later, it will change. By the way, it didn't change in his lifetime. All right, Babylonians took over, right? And then I think the next great empire was the Medo-Persians. Persians came. Yeah, that's kind of a way, a answer to the hard question of life. I think we need it.
Is the book more about Habakkuk's struggle, or about? So I'm kind of wondering why Josiah. So I guess just the story of Josiah is to validate why he's feeling this way. So kind of to provide a little background,
right?
And that's the only purpose.
That's the only purpose. Yeah,
Josiah.
Yeah, Habakkuk. This is his book, his prophecy to the people. Right, it is a prophecy to the people in the midst of destruction or coming destruction, and this is says. And God says, here's the vision, write it down so that everyone understands this. For the righteous shall live by faith.
What if Josiah did not
write it down?
No. What if Josiah, it probably doesn't matter, I guess. Like, what if he said, oh, was it Necho?
Necho, yeah.
So, okay, Necho, I believe you. I'm not going to go to war. Like, does that even matter?
I think his life will be spared.
But then that won't be pleasing to God, right? Like, because I'm kind of thinking, like, because based on his faith, right? It's like, well, if Necho, who's a non-believer, he probably very likely worships idols, right? But then I think God is more pleased with Josiah's response, right? Of that, like, I'm not gonna, but probably this.
We'll talk about that
later.
Because the fact of it was that the Bible was saying that Necho was saying the word of God. Josiah disobeyed the word of God. Okay. All right. Any comments? Questions? I think we're going to take a few 2 weeks break. Christmas after this, and then we'll
no
class next week. Christmas, right? I think everyone will be busy too. So no class next week, and no class the first week of the year. And then the class first week, and then it will resume in January 7th, okay? January 7th, yeah. All right, let's pray, just in time for the end. Father, thank you for this morning. We know that many times, in difficult times, we do not know how to explain why it happens. But through your word, thank you for the encouragement that you bring to us. And the word says, during those times that we simply trust, we simply continue to have faith in who you are, your character, the fact that you're in control in the chaos, and that you'll bring about one day the restoration of those who love you, your children, and that you will restore your kingdom
you know, store all the goodness that that this world was meant to be. And we trust that in the midst of it, Lord, that you'll give us mercy, you'll give us comfort, you give us strength as we go through the various difficulties that we have in the world. We thank you because you are a good God. You do not leave us, you do not forsake us. And you continue to work with us and lead us. And you made me pray. Amen.